A scholar who has thought long and hard about poverty, inequality, and progress has just won the Nobel Prize in Economics. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Nobel Prize for Economics goes to Angus Deaton of Princeton University. The Swedish Nobel Committee notes the UK-born economist has done pioneering work in analyzing poverty, welfare, and how we consume. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell joins me. Chris, I've read some of Professor Deaton's work about money and well-being. What is his focus?
You know, David, his focus are what are the determinants of long-term economic growth in progress. What do houses really spend their money on? And he looks at things like calorie intake, the long-term trend toward increasing life expectancy, education. And so this is a brilliant choice that sort of grasps into what's happening in this global economy. We've all talked about how inequality is declining globally when you look between nations, although it's going up within nations. And I think this is a choice that sort of fits into what we're talking about these days, inequality, poverty on a global scale.
Now, he does emphasize the progress we have all made around the world in economic development. Is this something that we can just assume we're on this trajectory and things just will get better?
No, it's one of the messages of his book, The Great Escape, that came out in 2013, which is a wonderful book. And it really starts with the Enlightenment, and it emphasizes the importance of education and changes in health. You know, how we're consuming more calories, which we're noting all the time. But he also says you can't assume this. You have to do empirically based work. You have to have policies that are actually going to look at what do people actually spend their money on? What do the poor really spend their money on? And you're going to be shocked, David, to know that many economists just assume they have theories that say what people are going to be spending their money on. What Angus did is he actually did work. What is it they spend their money on? And he says you cannot assume economic progress, but you want to deal with science. You want to deal with policies that will improve people's lives and that actually go to where the poor are and how they will change their spending depending on the policies that you enact.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell, thank you. The luxury brand giant LVMH this morning reveals how much money it's been making. The alphabet soup there refers to the company behind Louis Vuitton, Donna Karan, Tag Heuer wristwatches, Moët Champagne. The company reported 20% growth in the first half of the year, but what about the slowdown in China? LVMH has almost as many stores there as it does in all of Europe. Marketplace's Nova Safo takes a look.
LVMH's luxury brands range from wines to perfumes to clothes and watches, with labels such as Sephora, Marc Jacobs, and Moët. Consultant Milton Pedraza of the Luxury Institute says these labels have a problem.
Luxury growth trends are slowing down.
Pedraza says one of the biggest reasons is the economic decline in China. But there is still growth in the luxury market, and the Chinese have not stopped buying, says luxury retail analyst Paul Swinand of Morningstar. He says the Chinese are just going to Europe.
The prices are actually 30, 40, even 50% lower.
Luxury retailers have been investing in e-commerce to lower geographic barriers. LVMH recently hired an Apple exec to lead its digital operation.
If you've only got so many Cartier or Omega or Rolex watches made in the world, then it really doesn't matter where you sell them.
Swinand says all that matters is demand lining up with supply. And for now, he says, demand overall is strong enough to keep luxury retailers profitable. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
There's a new film festival coming through, but it requires headgear. The Kaleidoscope Virtual Reality Film Festival has been touring North America. It wraps up in Austin Wednesday. Reporter Ibi Caputo checked out the festival when it stopped through New York.
At first, virtual reality can be a little, well, disorienting. I put on the headset, read the health and safety warning on the screen, and launch into The Night Cafe, the painting by Van Gogh.
Right now I'm... walking into a wall. I turn my head and I walk into another wall. Okay. How do I turn around? I think I have to turn my entire body to turn around.
In that film, or as people in the virtual reality world call it, In that experience, I used a touchpad on the side of my headset to move around the famous painting. That's just one of the experiences people can have at Kaleidoscope, a festival where filmmaking intersects with game playing. Festival founder Renee Pinnell says bumping into walls is part of the experience and the experiment.
No one knows how to tell a story in virtual reality right now, so to do it, you're going to have to fail, you're going to have to try something, and it's not going to work.
Bumping into walls aside, it was pretty cool to get close to Van Gogh's bar. From swivel chairs set in rows, festival goers could also be transported to post-earthquake Nepal or to a devastated city in Syria. And there were more abstract experiences as well, animations like Lover, in which infatuation is expressed in a vibrantly colored 360-degree diagram. Festival goer Jaina Fitzgerald says she's not going to go out and buy her own headset just yet, but
if it's like something like an iPhone where it becomes accessible, then I would definitely consider it because it seems like a great way to have a very short experience on your own.
With the medium still in its infancy, though, there are still a lot of kinks to work out, like how to make the headsets less clunky and how to get rid of overly pixelated images. But Pinnell says those tech upgrades are only a matter of time. In New York, I'm Ibi Caputo for Marketplace.
Confirmation this morning that Dell of Texas is acquiring the data storage company EMC of Massachusetts for $67 billion, a lot of it paid for by borrowing. Marketplace's tech host describes EMC as the, quote, OG of cloud storage firms, one of the originals that's been doing this since the late 1970s. EMC's stock was up nearly 3% in early trading today. From studios at Montclair State University in New Jersey, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.